If you've got a cold, this will drag it out of you. Is everybody turned to 180? Okay, I'm going to take your word for it. And we're not skipping a verse. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing His praise. Everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing around the throne in that land where no one ever knows care. And the Christians of all ages will join in triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing His praise. Everybody will be happy over there. Okay, now we're going to do that third and fourth verse. I'm going to get a drink first. Because as you know, I'm letting it all hang out. And I heard Tom and Lynn, they sounded pretty good over here. I wanted to help them a little bit right here, since they're doing the bass. But here we go on the third verse. Will we will hear nobody praying and no mourning in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. All the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing His praise. Everybody will be happy over there. Now, are you into it now? Are you enjoying it? Brenda is, boy, she is taking off. And I wasn't even... Actually, she could have led that last... verse, because she was already into it, and here I am talking. Okay, are you ready, Brenda? Here we go. There we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by His grace, and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise His name forever as we look upon His face. Everybody will be happy over there.
Everybody will be happy over there.
We'll be happy over there. We will shout and sing His praise. Everybody will be happy over there. By that last verse, you all were smiling like you knew we were going to be happy over there. You know, when we're singing a song like that, we ought to be happy, right? Amen. Just remain standing. I love it when that happens. I didn't say sit down. I said, let's have prayer. What do you say? Well, anybody got a prayer request?
Pam wanted to remember her family, especially Mass. She had several tests today, and she asked for her family. She needs her family saved.
I think those tests are in the morning, but for...
She said today she might not be here tonight because they're going on today at 2 o'clock. So.
Yeah. And that's when they found out they were going to do them in the morning. She told the doctor what to do. but do remember, Mouse, Becky Augustus is in the hospital at Bristol Regional. So remember her. John's not sure what's going to happen, but she'll be there tonight and, you know, till tomorrow, till they can see what's going on with her. Anybody else?
Missing both my cousin Abraham and my family.
Okay. And don't forget Gideon. Let's keep that little youngin' before God. Someone else. Marie? How's Marie doing?
Had a good day.
All right.
I just want to thank you for answering prayers this week.
Yeah, it's good to see you, honey. We missed you.
We had some family members that went to the doctor, and they got a good report. So.
Amen.
Good. Good. Anybody else? We're going to God in prayer. He's the one who answers. He is.
Daniel.
Let's remember Daniel. Do that. Yeah. Anyone else? And I always remember Richard's daughter, too. Yeah. Let me say this while we're doing this. If you've had someone on the prayer list for the bulletin and you see it's not there, it's because some names were left on quite a while. We hadn't heard from anybody on how they are. So if you're going to put a name on the bulletin, please let Stacy know when she can remove that person from there, because we have more names all the time and we have to make room for them. So if you would, please do that. Some of them I didn't know, hadn't heard of, so I said it would be okay to go ahead and drop their names. Doesn't mean God forgets them or we've forgotten them, but we just don't know who. So please look at that and let Stacy know. And if I pull somebody's name off without your knowledge and you get mad at me, ask the Lord to forgive you, because I thought I was doing the right thing. Anybody else have a prayer request? Nobody? Okay. Unspoken, families, everywhere. Yeah. Let's pray. Let's bless this. Amen. After the usher has gone by, you can go ahead and sit down. Song. That is such a good song. I can hear the words while she's playing. That's a good job playing that, honey. You know, when you can hear the words when the instrument's playing, that's pretty good. Yeah. Okay, we're in Zechariah. And if you will turn, or if Stacy can put chapter 6, verse 1 up there. We'll start from there and go down through verse 8. I tell you what, she's getting better than her husband. Or Scott. Okay. Well, we're into visions in Zechariah, aren't we? We've already found that out. We've had a number of them. This is vision number 10. There is, in chapter 6, there's a a ministry of angels. You know, God has angels that he sends for a lot of different things. I'm sure beyond a shadow of a doubt he sent angels just for me at times, for protection, setting me straight. I don't know how he does his angels, but I believe that angels are there. In fact, we're told that there are angels unaware even. We don't know what God has in mind for us, but we know that there is a ministry of angels, and we see that here in chapter 6. There are four chariots. And these four chariots that he's talking about here in chapter 6, they are not, I know some people teach this and preach this, but I don't see it fitting up with what I know. So I agree with others who say this is not the four world empires as we know them. The four world empires being the Babylonian Empire, the Persian, the Greeks, and the Romans. One followed right after the other when one would take over, you know, overpower. This whole world has always been somebody wanting to get more powerful and take over other countries and other monarchs. And these monarchs, they just one followed right after the other. It's no different today. We just don't live in the monarch times. I do believe that Russia wants to take over, just like Germany had the idea of taking over, and just like other world powers have wanted to take over. I believe Russia wants to take over, and I'm not sure exactly what they're pulling together, but from what I'm able to see in the news and read, I can see it happening. And I hope and pray that I'm wrong, but I can see it happening. If you want an interpretation of the sixth chapter, especially mainly the tenth vision that we're getting into, you go down to verse 5, and verse 5 interprets that for us. And I believe this is God's authoritative word on the interpretation, and I believe verse 5 is it. When he says, these are the four spirits of the heavens. And now we'll start with verse 1, and when we get down there, I think you'll see how that fits in to this. But before we do, let's ask the Lord to bless this service this evening, okay? Lord, we're thankful for Zechariah. We're thankful for your precious word. We're thankful, Lord, that we can read it and study it and be more equipped to live for you, more equipped to win others, more equipped to be stronger in our Christian faith. And we're going to praise you, Lord, for everything you do here tonight. Give us the truth, and we'll praise you in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. In chapter 6, in verse 1, he says this, and now this is not new as to how this happens. You're going to see that it's really reads pretty close to the same. And I turned, see if you remember this. And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains, and the mountains were the mountains of brass. Now, if you've done a study of the tabernacle in the Old Testament, you'll remember that brass has to do with judgment. Anytime you read of the metal of brass, it has to do with the judgments. And here in verse 1, he, even though we say some things stay the same and some things do, because when he says I turned, we've had that a couple times already where he turned and then he lifted up his eyes and then he looked one thing at a time. And I believe if we want to hear God speak to us, we need to turn toward God. We're not always turned in his direction. We get into our own life and our own ways, and we do our own things, and we've turned ourselves away from him. And I believe there's a need for us to turn toward him. And when we do, let's raise our eyes toward him. Let's don't act like we turn toward him and then keep ourselves down here on this earth. We need to turn our eyes toward him. And if we're going to do that, we need to get into his word and let him talk to us. Let's talk to him. Let him talk to us. Amen. Let's do it in the right way. And then when we do that, we look directly at him, not just to turn in that direction and lift up our eyes, but when we lift up our eyes to look, that means you focus on what he wants you to do. There's a whole lot of generalities of Christian life. That means that it's the same for everyone. But when it comes to finding out what God wants specifically for your life, you got to look. You've got to look for what he wants from you. So when this prophet did that, he turned, he lifted up his eyes and he looked. And then he beheld. He saw. You will too. If you actually turn toward him and look toward him, I promise you that what he has for you, you'll see it. Because this prophet did, and you will also. Because God has specific things for every one of us. Angels are often called, and I'll give you a couple verses of scripture. In fact, would somebody turn to Psalm 6, 68? One of you men who have your Bibles there, would you turn to Psalm 68, Tom? Psalm 68 and verse 17. And I want you to read that here in just a second. Because we've got to understand this. These are not easy to understand. So we're going to try to bring them together according to the Word of God. Angels are often called the chariots of God. They're the carriers of the Word of God. And a chariot was, its main purpose was to carry the warriors into battle. And when I say the angels are often called chariots of God, that was so they could carry the word of God to whatever was needed. Tom, would you read that?
The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place.
You see what I mean? Now, if you take that scripture, and you would find a reference somewhere around there probably to a scripture in Revelation, and I'll take you to Revelation in just a minute. The four angels of God, he says here, are coming between two mountains. Now, there's nothing odd about that. I don't know how they're coming between the two mountains. They're not coming over the mountains, and there's a reason for that, is because the judgments of God, you can't get over those. And these are the mountains of brass, and this is the judgment of God. But there's some things happening here other than the fact that they're just coming between these two mountains. Let's read that now again. It says, "And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains." Four chariots. And the mountains were mountains of brass. He went on to explain that because it's necessary for us to see that they're coming between the mountains of judgment. They didn't just pass through, by the way. And I'll show you that in another verse here in a minute. They didn't just pass through. They passed through after they had gotten their instructions from God. So here he's talking about the four angels coming between the mountains of brass, which is judgment, and they were direct representatives of the God of heaven. These weren't just any four chariots. These four chariots were on a mission. We know they're on a mission because the horses were of different colors. Isn't that odd? It would be odd to us, but it's not odd to God. God had a reason for what he's doing here, and he's going to show us that reason. So they're coming between the mountains of judgment, and they're coming with a specific reason for reaching the people. In verse 2, he puts it this way, and he said, "In the first chariot were red horses, And in the second chariot were black horses. Now, there's a reason for red horses and there's a reason for black horses. If you know the colors, if you've been through Revelation, you would probably already know these things. But angels had specific jobs and purposes, and the horses told us what they were. The first chariot was with red horses. This signified war and bloodshed. Now, remember the last 3 or 4 weeks I've told you that this has to do with the end times. There's something going to happen one of these days, and I do believe that if we look real closely with spiritual eyes, we can see some things happening right now in our news that's leading us strongly toward this. And I'm not a prophecy preacher. I'm not going to get into that. I don't mind listening to a prophecy preacher because I've learned a lot of good things from a prophecy preacher, but I don't go there. But I'm telling you that what he's saying here, the first chariot with red horses signified war and bloodshed, and we're getting ready to see more war and bloodshed than we can imagine. Right. And it's happening in the area of Russia and the country they have just absolutely torn all to pieces. And then the countries down south China has gotten together and got a relationship going with them. That's not all of them. That's just the ones we know about and the ones that we know who are strong nations. And they're pulling together, folks. Can you see that? They're pulling together, and they're pulling together for a reason. Now, this world will never be a world without war and bloodshed. There's no way you're going to make that go away. Right. You can't pray it away. It's not going to happen. It's already been set in stone in God's word. There will be wars and rumors of wars, and war and bloodshed is always going to be here. What we do know that is in the end time, the blood will be to the horse's bridle. There's a battle going to happen where the blood will be to the horse's bridle. That's a lot of blood, folks. That's a lot of blood. Whether you want to believe that it'll actually get up to the horse's bridle or not, that's up to you. But I can tell you this, it's going to be a lot of blood and a lot of war. Right. The second chariot with black horses signified the consequences of the war. War is not always just something that is listed as, well, there's a war going on between Russia and Ukraine. Does it sound like it did when it first started and they first started bombing them when you read articles now or see it on TV? Does it seem like it's as bad as it was when it first started? I can tell you, no. I can see the pictures of what they're doing, and it still bothers me that when I see those pictures of how they have decimated those cities and killed all those people. And it's not just Ukrainians who are dying. Russians are dying by the thousands. And I don't know what the people in that country will do at some time. We can't regulate what happens between the Russians and the Ukrainians. It's a war. It's a war. Now, we don't know when they say, well, Russia has invaded Ukraine. Sounds like a war, doesn't it? And it is. But what is a war? What does a war do? You lose machinery. You lose weapons. You lose people. War has consequences. And that's what the black horses are about here. The second chariot with the black horses signified the consequences of the war. The death. You see those bodies laying around all over the streets? That bothered us at first. I don't believe it bothers us as much now. Do we get desensitized to things like that? We get desensitized to a lot of things. I can honestly say there are things happening in this world right now that I never thought would ever happen. And I believe it's because we have gotten desensitized to a whole lot of things and we've allowed it just to go on by and it's not bothered us like it used to. Lives are broken by the losses. That's the consequences. When you see those little women, they've got that mic talking to them, and they talking Ukrainian language, and we can't understand it, but they tell us what they said, and you hear the pain and the hurt and the tear, see the tears in their face. You know the consequences of war. Consequences are bad. It's not just that one country is stronger than another and they're going to say, take over. What is involved in taking over? Well, the consequences of war and death and the loss that people have in their lives. Some of these people actually had a life. They had income. Now, I'm saying these things because if we think that we're in such a condition that that can never happen here, I think we ought to rethink that. I think we ought to rethink that. I believe God can cause that to happen here, and you say, "Well, happen? It'll happen somewhere else. It won't happen in East Tennessee. It'll happen. They'll hit New York, or they'll hit a California city, or they'll hit a Florida city, or they'll hit somewhere else. They won't hit here in East Tennessee. We don't know that. We do know that 100 miles down the road, there's a very strategic place they would like to take out." If that were the case, and you say, well, they can't send stuff over. Yeah, they can. They can. They can. And I don't know. Today I understood they took out a drone. And by the way, when they say they took out a drone, that's not one of those little drones you see flying around over the football field. It's an actual drone plane. And they took it out today. I don't know what will happen with that. And really, it doesn't matter because I can't change it and you can't change it. What I'm telling you is that for us as Christians, not as Americans where some other country might start a war with us and we may be in a war, we could be. But I can tell you this, that the consequences of a war, no matter where it is, are the same. We separate ourselves from these countries that we don't know much about, like the Ukrainians. I don't know much about them. And I actually separated myself from that as far as it happening here. I said, well, it's in another country somewhere else. It's not going to affect me. Folks, it affects all of us. Every one of us. And this second horse that he's talking about here is telling us that the consequences of war reach farther than the country that it's happening in. And these poor people in Ukraine will never be the same. And if the war comes here, this country will never be the same. Of course, this country hadn't been the same in a long time. There are battles, if I could spiritualize it just a little bit, there are battles that happen in the lives of Christians. There are wars in the lives of Christians. And after that war, there are consequences of that war. There are consequences of the battles that take place. And you're not the same after that. You're never the same after that. And these countries won't be the same after the war. But the Lord's got a plan for the end time, folks. And let's just stay close to Him because He's our commander in chief. And He's the one who fights the war. He's the one who fights the battles, the war. He's going to take care of it. We just need to trust Him. We're not to live in fear. I'm telling you this because I do believe that of all the years I have preached that He's soon to come, I believe He's really soon to come. And I add the word really in there as an adjective to describe how I believe how soon it is. He is. Now, in that verse 3, he says, and the third chariot, now we've got the first chariot where the red horses, second chariot with the black horses, and then the third chariot are with white horses. Now this has nothing to do with him coming out on a white horse in Revelation, but this has something to do with what the white horse means in this case. In the fourth chariot, I'm going to go ahead and read it, they're the grizzled and the bay horses. There's a multicolored horses here. I believe they're two different horses. and they've just come in different colors. Well, here's what he says about that. The third chariot of the white horses signified the return to the area where the battles and the wars were, and the consequences have been there. We do serve a God of love, a God of kindness and gentleness, and we know that. We know the fruits of the Spirit. We know that's what He is. Even though we know also He sends the red horse in. Even though we know He sends the black horse in. Even though we know He also sends the white horse in. The white horse signifies a comfort and peace and a return to prosperity. Did I say a return to prosperity? I did, because you see, God will always give us hope. There's always hope. If there's repentance of sin, there'll always be hope. Now, in the end time, when this whole thing is over, it's going to be over. And I believe that we have gotten so desensitized to thinking that, well, God's a God of love and He's going to take care of it and everything's going to be okay and we're not going to lose our bank accounts. But some people do. Even before the war starts. Well, because the banking system and everything else is connected to the why countries invade other countries. Money. Power. And the power of money. I don't know how that bank in California got to where it is. I do know that there's a whole lot of people in California, not the ones who made the small amounts of money. We discussed some of this last night at the men's meeting over here and never got very far, but we found a few people who were knowledgeable about it. But I can tell you this, that they were saying, well, only the people who put money in the bank, you know, or got loans or something, $250,000, if you weren't over that, you get your money back. And then we see the President of the United States make an announcement that they're all taken care of, except one. What was it, Tom? The ones that didn't get taken care of.
Equity.
The equity people. But there were billions. This is a billion-dollar deal. This is not thousands of dollars. I told them it doesn't bother me because I ain't got enough money for them to worry about mine. But if I had billions or millions, I would be concerned, wouldn't you? Yeah. Just to show you that we put our trust, this is where I was going with that, we put our trust in the United States of America, right? And I love America. And I put my trust in the system. The system's not the same as when I began to put my trust in the system. We put our trust in the system of a building out here on one of these streets in Johnson City who takes your money through a window, puts it where you can't see it, and tell you, thank you, see you later. Everything is good. You're in good hands with us. Nothing will ever happen. And I know they have the $250,000 deal that the government okays. It could get worse enough to where they couldn't even do that. Folks, we think we've got areas where we're covered. We're not covered. The only place we're covered is in the hands of the Lord. Let's trust in Him that He'll take care of it. We have to have some sort of trust to make the system work the way it works now. I agree with that, but don't put all your eggs in one basket. And that's not code for you stock market people either. Okay? But he says the third chariot here was with white horses, signified the return of comfort and peace and prosperity to those people who lost that when they went north. By the way, you'll find out here in a minute, that's where they're going. Red horse is going north. North toward Russia. After the dismal days of war and the calamities of war caused by sin in the first place, the white horse goes. And then the fourth chariot with the grizzled and bay horses, signifying the interweaving of the different things. That's why they're different colors. The interwoven events during the last days, there's going to be events just like we're experiencing now, where their focus wasn't on the end times at this time. He's going to get them focused in that direction. And I believe the Lord's trying to get us focused in that direction, that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. And that's the Russia, Iran, all that. That's the wars and the rumors of wars that I'm talking about. That's part of the rumors. They're kind of the same. But then we have this thing happen with the banks in California and New York. And can you see the interweaving of these things? It's all interwoven together. The greed of man, which is a reason for war in the first place, is the same reason for the decline and the falling of banks in our system. Sin, the sin of greed is causing it all. So there's an interweaving of these things. And so things fail. And when things fail, man has a reason to be concerned. I don't think Christians ought to fall into the category of being fearful for these things to happen, but I believe that's what's going on. Look at verse 4, if you will, because verse 4 says this, Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these, my Lord? Now, is that the first time that he's asked that question? No, it's not. Because he didn't understand before and he doesn't understand now. He doesn't understand the chariots and the different colored horses. He doesn't understand the mountains of brass. He doesn't understand these things. But God's going to help him out here. In fact, if you remember, I told you verse 5 was the interpretation of this. Well, let's take a look at verse 5, because 4 don't tell us a whole lot except he asked the question, what are these things, Lord? And it's okay for you to ask, what are these things, Lord? If you read the Word of God and you can't understand what's going on, it's okay to pause right there and say, God, I want to understand this. I want you to enlighten me to where I can understand what's going on. Illuminate my mind with spiritual sense so that I can understand what's going on. I want to know more about my Lord. So, what are these things, my Lord? Well, the angel who was the Lord's angel, he's going to answer him. And in verse 5, he answers him. And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens. Now he's saying they're not chariots, they're spirits. You'll find out in Revelation it all is the same. These are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. Now here's where I want to take you back between the two mountains of brass. They were coming between the mountains of judgment. Don't you know that when he says here they came forth from standing before the Lord, that they had gotten their instructions about what was going to happen and what they were to do, and they were going between the mountains of judgment with their orders in their hands. Some were going north, some were going south, some were going all over the place, but they were going to cover these things for the Lord. And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of this earth. The explanation of this verse is for this whole chapter. I want to go to Revelation now. I'm going to ask Tom to do the same thing. I've got it marked here, Tom, but I like the way you read. Huh? Seven. 7:1-3. So the number 4 is a specific number. Y'all know about numbers in the Bible. If I were to say the number 7, you'd tell me it means what? Y'all know the number 7. Huh?
Perfection or divinity.
Perfection. Anytime you see the number 7 in the Bible, it is perfection or divine or divinity, whichever one you want. But you can attach it to it. I think I got Nick's attention the other day when I said do that thing about two and three. I'm not going to go into all the numbers, but if you want to look that up, that's a good Bible study for you. But the number four has to do with the earth. That's the number of the earth. There are four chariots, four angels, four spirits, four this, four that, and that covers everything that happens in the earth. That is the number of the earth. But now I want you to listen to Revelation chapter 7, verse 1, 2, and 3.
And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.
Does that sound like something that hasn't been planned out? When you read that, it'll make cold chills run all over you, because you know God's in charge and he knows exactly what he's doing and he knows how he's going to do it. And when you read that, you feel like as a Christian, you have someone who can handle any situation in your life, and he can, because he holds the whole world in his hand. I'm not going to sing that song to you, but he holds the world in his hands. The whole world in his hands.
Yeah.
The universe, everything. And when you read that, it just all comes to life. Life, and it comes to life in your life itself. So standing before the Lord of judgment, and that's where these angels were, these chariots with all their horses, they were standing before God, and the God of judgment, getting their orders from their commander-in-chief on what was going to take place. That's verse 5. Look at verse 6, if you will. Verse 6 says this: the black horses which are therein, he's going to give a little description. The black horses which are therein go forth into the north country. He's going to tell us now what direction they're going. The black horses are going north. North to Russia. That's the only explanation that I've heard of anybody having, is that toward Russia. Russia has a terrible place with the Lord. I'm trying to come up with the right word. Can't come up with it right now. But they're not very well in the graces of God because of all the things. Not that the grace of God's not in their lives. If they want to be saved, if a Russian wants saved, they can get saved. But the government of Russia is not in a good place. Never has been. And I don't believe it ever will be, because I believe it's in God's plan that this is exactly what's going to happen. Not that he predestinates those people in Russia to go to hell or anything. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that country is always going to be determining what happens in the end time. So he says, the black horses are therein, go forth into the north country, and the white go forth after them. Did I tell you that I believe that when God causes a war or the circumstances of war to come upon people, that right behind that he will give you a hope? Well, this is exactly where you get that right here, because the white horses follow the black horses into the north country, and the grizzled go forth toward the south country. Now we're going to see that when it says they go south, that we're going to find the grizzled and the bay are going to be going to and fro everywhere. God's got it covered, folks. He's got East Tennessee covered. He's got Johnson City. He's got Stony Creek covered. He's got Keystone over here covered. He's got this community right here covered. He's got it all covered. Let's not think that we're out of the coverage. We're not out of the coverage. Never have been. And we're not out of the danger zone. Never have been. Never will be. We're always going to be in that danger zone that he's talking about. But he's always got a plan for bringing us out of it. So he says in verse 7, and the bay, the bay horse went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Sounds to me like they were going to and fro through the earth. He didn't mention it enough, did he? He got his idea across, though. We know now that he didn't let anybody out of his sight. He covered the whole situation. Amen? So the white horse will follow with the comfort and after the carnage of the war and the sentence has been carried out, he'll always come in and give comfort. In verse 7, he says this, or verse 8, and then he cried and he said unto me, up on me, spake unto me, saying, behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. Something happened there. I don't know what all happened. I just know that when the Lord says it quieted my spirit, it quieted his spirit. We don't know what happened. We know that the bay went forth to and fro throughout the earth, and the mix of the colors just told us that they were coming together to do this, to do that. Then he says the judgment of the black horses and the deliverance of the white horse right behind the black horse. We know that that happened. And when he says that happened, he says it quieted my spirit. Now, I can't tell you what it means. I just know that when I read that it quieted his spirit, I felt a quietness of my own spirit. I felt a quietness of my own trust in the Lord, and whatever he's got planned for the end time, it'll be okay. We say individually when somebody passes away and we have their funeral and we say, I'm sorry about that, and we always have that phrase, we say, well, they're better off than we are. You know, I mean, we say that sometimes trying to believe it. So that we can get through the next day or the next week, or if you've lost somebody, you know what I'm talking about. They're better off than we are. But we know according to the Word of God, they are better off than we are, because we know this is not the end of this thing. We're in the journey. We're not at our destination. And we won't be at our destination until we're out of here where this journey is taking place. And by the way, this journey is not in how many years you lived, how many jobs you had, how much money you made, how many houses you lived in, all the things we remember of all the places we've been. That's not the journey. The journey has to be more than that. If it's not a spiritual journey, then what difference is it going to make? It's not going to make any difference. If our journey is just what all we have accomplished down here, what all we have accumulated, what all we have done, good or bad, two or four other people, that's not our journey. Should we continue to do good things for folks? Yeah, we should. But that's not our journey. My journey is with my Lord. He's taken me out of here. He's taken me home. Just as he'll take all of us home. We don't have a reason to fear, folks, because we're not staying here. And things may happen in this old world that might take our life. It might be a disease. It might be another country invading our country, and we lose thousands and thousands of lives, millions of lives. We don't know. Whatever it is, it's just part of what happens in this life. Our journey is with the Lord. And when he's got your hand taking you toward the other side, you'll cross Jordan just fine. You will. Let's bow our heads. It quieted his spirit. And I'd like to think that when he looks upon us as a church, or our individual lives. He knows that we have taken advantage of the answers to the prayers of war and bloodshed and circumstances that are going on. Yeah. God's good. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Zechariah. We thank you for chapter 6. We thank you, Lord, that you have a plan, and the plan involves your children. We're so glad that we're your children. You're our Father. You love us. And I pray, oh God, that when you look at our lives, there's a quietness that comes over you, and you're quieted. We thank you for everything you've done and everything you're going to do. Be with Becky there in the hospital tonight. Lord, if it's your will to touch Becky and heal her, we want to see her back. And for Deanie, Lord, would you touch her? If it's your will, touch her. She wants to come back to church. She wants to be back in the house of God, sitting, worshiping with her brothers and sisters. Lord, there are others that are not here tonight that would love to be here. If it be your will, touch them. May our lives quiet your spirit. We're going to praise you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I hope you'll come back Sunday morning bringing